Hey, and welcome to another edition of Saturday Sunrise here on WFIW AM and FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Also online through our website, WFIWradio.com. I'm Derek Dunn, your host. Thank you for joining me here on this Saturday. And we'd like to remind you every episode of Saturday Sunrise is podcasted for your listening pleasure following airtime. Well, I've had this guy on the show here before. It's been a few months, and last time I had him on, we talked about his Pittsburgh Steelers and talked a little bit about music. And I know with, you know, COVID-19 and, of course, sports has been pretty much put on hold at the moment, but we're starting to see a slow reopening in the sports world, and that is Jeff Owens. Jeff was actually a college radio boss up at Eastern Illinois University, and also I even had a class with Jeff. It was a broadcast sales. And Jeff, it's great to have you here. And again, last time I had you on, we talked about football. We talked about your beloved Pittsburgh Steelers. And this time, I want to talk about baseball here, because I remember one day you told us up at Eastern several years ago when I was up there that you are an Atlanta Braves fan. And we'll talk about the Braves in a moment. But I was wondering, how did you ever get introduced to the game of baseball? And how long did your playing career go? And you eventually coached as well.
I started loving baseball when I was little. I played from 5 years old through all the way through high school. I was hoping I could play in college, but I just wasn't good enough. Grew up playing for my dad. I played for a guy named Bud Karpis. You know, played Babe Ruth baseball, Legion baseball, high school baseball. Always loved it. How I became an Atlanta Braves fan is an interesting story. You know, I'd come home from school in the afternoon, and the Braves were always on TBS when I was, you know, got to be about, you know, 9 or 10 years old, I guess. And I just kind of fell in love with them for some reason. I just kind of fell attached to them. I had Dale Murphy and Bob Horner and Gene Garber and guys like that. And, you know, I never did like the Cubs growing up, and they were on TV a lot too. And I just, you know, even though I was an Illinois guy, Cubs didn't interest me. The Braves did. And so I, you know, people say, when did you start to be a Braves fan? I said, you know, mid-70s and through TBS TV, I just followed them all along. And then we had a great run there in the 90s and early 2000s. And now we seem to be back now. So yeah, I love my Bravos, Derek.
And Jeff, it's kind of interesting, because when I was up at Eastern, I remember someone telling me, you are a Cardinals fan, and the dividing line, there's like an imaginary dividing line between Cardinals and Cubs fans. It seems like that imaginary line runs through Mattoon and Charleston and Champaign. So it's kind of amazing how, you know, you're an Atlanta Braves fan when you got Cardinals and Cubs fans all around you.
Yeah, and it's fun being a, you know, a Braves fan in the middle of Cubs and Cardinals territory, so I can antagonize both fan bases sometimes, and then I can sit back and watch the fan bases rail on each other. And I know I've got plenty of great friends that are Cubs fans, plenty of great friends that are Cardinals fans, and so it's fun to sit back and watch it. You know, part of my family is Cardinals fans, and then part of my wife's family almost are all Cubs fans, so it's very, very, it's a great place to be when you're not one of the others, so you can sit back and watch and kind of enjoy. And, you know, the Cubs have had a little success lately. The Cardinals had success in the early 2000s. So it's fun. And I just sit back, and now the Braves are hopefully going to compete if we ever get baseball back and get back to the World Series, I hope.
Yeah, well, hey, I mean, you guys have been there before, and it can happen again. So you talked about, you know, playing baseball, you know, from the age of 5 and all the way through high school. And then you mentioned you coached as well. Talk about the leagues that you coached. And I think you also went to, like, I guess, like a World Series of some sort, too, along the way.
Yeah, I coached baseball from when I was 18 up until just, you know, about a year ago was when my youngest son, who is now in high school, he'll be a sophomore in the fall. I coached all of my boys. We coached Little League, Babe Ruth World, you know, Babe Ruth, the Nicholas's team made it to the Babe Ruth World Series. I was a big part of that. I won a state championship and then in Babe Ruth baseball with a team. We went to Ohio Valleys. I've coached all over the Midwest in terms of youth baseball, anywhere from, you know, 7 or 8 year olds up to, you know, 14, 15 year olds at the travel level. And I loved coaching baseball. Baseball is so much fun. You know, it's a camaraderie building thing. And I think if I could go back to college, I probably might be more of a, I might go into coaching instead of broadcasting. But, you know, my first love was always broadcasting, so that's where I went. But baseball and coaching is definitely something I love and I miss. And I think someday I'll probably get back into doing something with it. But right now it's kind of nice to just sit back and watch it.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you had, like, maybe you've ever thought about coaching baseball again at some sort of level. What kind of level, if you had to go back into coaching baseball, do you have, like, a level you prefer, or?
The best time is when the kids are about 10, 11, and 12, when they start to become coordinated. It's competitive, and it's on the smaller fields. And I just think when they're 10, 11, and 12 is a great time. So if I'd go back, that's little league age. And for most people's knowledge, or, you know, Cal Ripken, Babe Ruth is the same thing. It's the same age. So that's where I'd go back. If, you know, maybe after my kids are all moved out, and I might help out and help out with a city league team like that, and just help develop and have fun with it.
All right. Well, again, you're listening to Saturday Sunrise here on WFIWAM and FM Fairfield, Illinois. Also online at WFIWRadio.com. Derek Dunn, Jeff Owens on the phone with me this morning. Let's talk a little Atlanta Braves baseball here, because I watched Atlanta play last year when St. Louis hosted them over Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, Atlanta, you talked about some great players in the past, you know, like from Greg Maddux to Chipper Jones, and let's talk about the here and now. One of the best players in the league is Freddie Freeman, and Freddie, he's tall, he's strong, he's got the strength. You know, do you think he's going to be like Chipper in terms of he's going to stay in Atlanta for the remainder of his career because he's 30 right now, or do you think, you know, he's going to go somewhere else when he becomes a free agent?
I think Freddie's the one that the Braves are going to hang on to. I think he loves Atlanta. He's a Southern boy. He's part of the franchise. He, you know, he went through a few bad years there when the team was struggling. Now that they look like they're going to be competitive, I think Freddie will be a longtime Brave, and he'll be remembered along the lines of Chipper and Hank Aaron and the guys that were just great Atlanta Braves. And I'm glad you brought Memorial Day up and not the playoff game where the Braves lost like 15-1 to end last year, because that still is just a heart, kills my heart every time I think about that game.
Well, I remember watching it here in town at the Fairfield Elks, and I was just like, I was loving it as a Cardinal fan. But I remember Memorial Day weekend when the Cardinals had the lead, and the lead slipped away, and your Braves actually won. And I remember just when it seemed like, you know, they nailed it when your Braves got the win. It was just people filing out of the stadium. I mean, I watched the whole entire game, and it was breaking my heart, too, because I was in St. Louis. That was the only game I ever attended over the weekend. So, you know, my heart was breaking, too, when I saw your Braves, but a fun team to watch. And we talked about Freddie Freeman. Who else do you expect could be a force? Because I think Ronald Acuna Jr. is a name that keeps popping up.
Yeah, I love Ronald Acuña Jr. He's a 5-tool player, can do it all. Had a great year last year. Was really good in the playoffs. I love Ozzie Albies, our second baseman. That was my favorite position to play growing up, second base. So I just love Ozzie. He's just always having a great time. If anybody wants to watch people play baseball and you see some of these guys that just don't have any fun, turn on the Braves game when it's on TV and watch Ozzie play. He plays with that passion of the Pete Roses of the world, and he's just fun to watch. I love Ozzie. Dansby Swanson at shortstop, I don't think he'll ever be a superstar, but he's a steady player I like a lot as well. And so I think the Braves have a good, real good nucleus of their 3 or 4 players plus Freddie. That they can count on in terms of having that lineup packed for the years to come.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Braves got some really young talent. They've kind of built this Braves team. You know, they had a few bad years, but, you know, Freddie is like their centerpiece. And then they were able to get like Dansby and Acuna and Swanson. And Swanson was the one who broke my heart, you know, last year, Memorial Day weekend. So, also you talk about Josh Donaldson at third base, a veteran, Nick Markakis at right field.
Yeah. Well, we lost Donaldson, remember. He went free agent, so we're going to third base will probably be Austin Riley or Joan Camargo. But, yeah, we got Markakis in the outfield, Ender Inciarte in the outfield. We got a young guy named Austin Riley that's probably a year away. He had a little bit of success last year. And so, yeah, the Braves have some young talent, some veterans, and they got a couple guys coming up in the future. There's a guy named Drew Waters to keep your eye out for. He will be probably a starting outfielder as early as next year, if not 2022. He's going to be an absolute beast, I think. So I like the future of the Braves. You know, our pitching staff's deep. We got a great bullpen this year. So it's all good.
Now, you have the speed. You have, you know, Braves have the speed, the hitting, the power. If you had to pinpoint one weakness for the Braves, something that they need to improve in, what would it be?
This always kills me to say this because this guy has local ties, but Brian Snitker, our manager, I'm not the giganticest fan, if that's a word, of him. I sometimes think that he is just sits there and he reacts instead of being proactive. I'm totally not sold that he's the kind of guy that can get us to the World Series year in, year out. I think our starting pitching, it will be fine as long as, you know, we took a couple of flyers on some guys this year, and I'm having a brain lock. Felix Hernandez, I think, is one, and another guy. If those guys can be that 5 and 4 spot in the Braves rotation when needed, I think we'll be in good shape. So manager and then the 4 or 5 spot in pitching are our weak spots, but everything else I really, really like.
Now, when it comes to, you know, we talked about the weaknesses a little bit, but you know, you are a Braves fan. We talked about the Cardinals and Cubs earlier. You know, just outside of Atlanta, and if the season were to start, that is, this year, hopefully it does start this summer. But what teams do you think will be the ones to look out for? I mean, outside Atlanta.
Yeah. Okay. I think in the American League, the Yankees are loaded. I think the Angels are a surprise team to watch out for with some of the things they did in the offseason. The Oakland A's and the Astros will obviously be good. In the National League, the Dodgers are, again, loaded. I think they're to be loaded to bear. The Nationals are the are the reigning champs, so you got to give them credit. Philadelphia will be a better. The Cardinals and Cubs, I think, are going to be in the race, but the team to watch out for in their division, I think the Reds are back. So those are the teams I'm looking out for right there, the teams that I all mentioned. I think the Braves are in competition. But if I was a betting man, I would say we're looking for a Yankees-Dodgers World Series because those two teams are absolutely loaded, you know, roster spot 1 to roster spot 25, 26 right now.
Yeah, I was going to say for the Dodgers, it seems like it's kind of interesting with them. They have these great regular seasons. And then when they get to, like, postseason baseball, I think there's people expect them to make the World Series, and they don't make it. It's really, really odd, really interesting, though.
One of the things about the Dodgers, I've said for years, they are very good, and they're a great regular season team. Kind of remind me of the Atlanta Braves of the 90s, you know, great regular seasons, but they only can win one World Series. The Dodgers have so many interchangeable players. So the season, you can do that. You can play a Jock Peterson at first and in the outfield. You can play some of these guys at multiple positions. But when you get to the playoffs, then you kind of have to lock some people in. So the Dodgers all year long are interchangeable. Then when they get to the playoffs, they lock people into a slot. And it seems to me that they're not as fluid and as good as that point. So that's why I really am a big proponent of set lineups, you know. I'm anti, like, you know, the Cubs manager, he would always have different lineups every game. I like to set lineup and a set batting order and try to use that as many games as you can. And I think that follows off into the postseason, and you see success with teams that do that.
And not only that, but the teammate chemistry is also questionable, because if you have a set lineup, you know, that chemistry will grow and grow. But if you keep changing up your lineup where you kind of keep, you know, putting these players in and taking these players out, it's like the chemistry is just not the same.
Yeah, you don't want to have 12 guys who think they're starters in the major leagues. You want to have your solid 8. Maybe you have one platoon situation, so you have 9 guys who consider themselves starters. And really, then that 10th through 13th guy really need to understand that they are the backup outfielder. They're the backup infielder. They're the first right-handed pinch hitter off the bench. They're the left-handed pinch hitter off the bench. But if you have 12 or 13 guys who all think they should be out there, that's when you start having problems. And it seems to me the Dodgers are in the, you can put them in that category.
All right, Jeff. Well, to wrap it up here, we talked about baseball here. Let's talk a little football real quick. We just saw the NFL draft that was held recently. Obviously, a different kind of draft because it was virtual. You know, they've kind of used multiple sites to conduct it. What did you think about the NFL draft this year? And what about your Steelers? How were you satisfied with them?
I loved the draft the way it did because it put more emphasis on the players, and you got to see inside some of their homes or their agents' homes, wherever they were at. And I thought it was much more than better than the usual talking head. I thought it was really cool. And Roger Goodell, who, you know, really has never come across as a fun guy, you know, he actually seems human-like, you know, and had fun with it. And I really think the NFL should consider using a lot of part of this year's draft and the future drafts. I thought it was great. I watched almost, I won't say all of it, but I watched 75% of the draft, and I thought it was fun. As for my Steelers draft, I'm confident in Colbert and Tomlin of who they drafted. I think we needed to get an offensive lineman a little bit earlier. We went with Chase Claypool, the wide receiver out of Notre Dame, and I've got some Notre Dame fans who think, you're going to love this guy. So I'll give him that. I think overall I would give us a B. And, you know, one of the things about NFL drafting, everybody likes to grade it as soon as it's over. Nobody knows. First of all, we don't know if any of these kids drafted this year are actually even going to be able to make an impact, because there's no mini camps, there's no rookie camps. We don't even know if there's going to be a summer camp. It may be a shortened summer camp. Well, then these kids aren't going to be ready to play, because they just won't know the systems on any of these teams. So I don't know yet. It is a safe way out, but I think it really applies right now since we're all under this COVID thing. And I just hope we have football season, Derek. That's all I care about. If there's no Steelers football in the fall, I will be fit to be tied, my friend.
In terms of the local high school level, in terms of football, I hope there's football in the fall as well. That's still up in the air, but I hope that there is football in the fall. It's a wonderful time of year for it. Jeff, hey, thank you again very much, my friend, for your time this morning, and enjoyed chatting baseball with you, and I'll be glad to talk to you again down the road, all right?
I'm always ready for it, Derek. Love talking to you. I'm glad you're doing great down there in Fairfield, and go Mules, right?
That's right. Well, thank you very much, Jeff. Appreciate your time this morning. I'm Derek Dunn. That wraps up another edition of Saturday Sunrise. Until next week, be safe, and we'll see you all again next Saturday.